Heavy, you find TMK Mobile in Shelby Township.
Did somebody remember to charge their battery this morning? On the channel, or is that just static? Because my volume was turned down. WARCY. Good morning. Who's ever out there?
Probably was static. The more I just transmitted from. Good morning.
Oh, okay. Well, good morning to you. Did I hear you earlier chime in? And I think I tried to come back by saying, did somebody remember to charge up their battery this morning?
That was not me. I just got in the truck, took out the garbage, and now I'm rolling here. Give me 1 second. I already got a work call. Lovely. At AQBF.
Copy that. We'll be standing by. W8RCY. We are chilling in sub-zero temperatures.
K4ZYQ, good morning to all on frequency, especially those traveling to or for work or wherever.
Good morning, Joe. I traveled from the bed to the couch this morning. That's about as far as I've gotten, and sitting here with a cup of coffee and decaf, but it's coffee, and I just can't believe this weather. But we've experienced worse than this in Michigan, so it is what it is. But I'm glad I'm not out in it today for sure, having to go to work like some of these people have to do or need to do. So you just gotta make sure everybody stays safe. I still can't believe what I saw in the news yesterday, the over 100 vehicle pileup over there near Zeeland, Michigan. Southwest area, or southwest, what is it? I can't remember where Zeeland is, but I know it's on the west side of the state. Over 100 vehicles involved in accidents and only 10 minor injuries. That's miraculous for sure.
Yep, just leaving space in case anybody else want to come back in. KU4ZYQ. Yeah, I saw that shortly after it happened on the news or TV. Nasty. Yeah, we're getting some pretty frigid weather, and I've been lucky when I was working and not retired now. When I was working, I always used to live fairly close to where I worked, so I didn't have to travel that far. I think maybe 10 minutes at that. So it saved on gas trouble and also the cold chills and ice and snow. So I don't envy anybody that's got to drive 20 minutes or more. Half hour, 45 minutes to work every day, there and back, each way.
All right, I'm back.
Did I hear Dakota say he's back? Go ahead, sir, then I'll jump in after you.
Go ahead and pick it up. I had the radio turned all the way down.
Okay, well, Joe jumped in. He's here with us, ZYQ Joe. Joe, we were talking about going out in this cold weather. 50 years ago, I started as a meat cutter with Farmer Jack's, and the temperatures in the meat cutting room is right around 38 to 40 degrees. And you kind of laugh because it's warmer in the meat department than it is outside. That was always kind of strange. You know, you guys got to be cold back there. I says, no, it's 38 degrees in there, 38, 40 degrees right now in there, and look what it is outside. You know, anything below freezing, not the sub-zeros that we're dealing with today, but, you know, it's actually warmer in the meat department today at the Kroger across the street from me than it would be you know, just going outside, walking across the Quinder to get to Kroger's. I have a Kroger's right across the street from in my senior campus, so it's just a hop, skip, and a jump and a walk, but I'll walk in the store and walk over to the meat department. Can I come into your meat department and thaw out for a few minutes because it's warmer in there, kind of a thing. Joe, back to you, and then Dakota.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Good morning, Dakota. Yeah, it's crazy when it gets so frigid, especially up here in Michigan, let alone anywhere. But you think they'd have a device that you could put on your car tires that wouldn't destroy the roads, but still give you better traction than just bare rubber. Some kind of a special tread thing you just put on it just during the winter months for ice and snow and, you know, get traction all the time, and it wouldn't affect us, the streets. Over to you, Dakota, again. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Donald. Yeah, it's freezing. My truck says 3 degrees. I've got my heated jacket on today. Just took the garbage out, and it was very brisk. And, tires make a big difference. Just getting in my wife's truck versus mine, I can't really pull out in front of people in any sort of inclement weather in her truck. The tires are highway radial. There's no aggressive tread on them, and they just kind of spin. Versus my truck, it still spins, but not nearly as bad because I have all-terrain tires on it.
Well, in days when I drove regularly, I remember studded tires. And Joe mentioned in his last comment, you know, all these chemicals that they put down on these roads today, you wonder what's worse, the chemicals and salt, whatever, brine, all these things, and the cost-effective or cheap materials that are used in roads today. What's more harmful, the chemicals they're putting down on asphalt? And, you know, my biggest pet peeve is, you know, 696 from 94 to 75, or not even to 75, actually just to the Quinder here over in Macomb County. That stretch was, you know, totally demolished and rebuilt in less than, in about 30 years' time. And the quality of the materials in there, salt, chemicals, wear and tear, weight, you know, you got that thing with the weights of tractor trailers, so on and so forth. I think it's more harmful than having studded tires, and Dakota talking about what kind of tires he has on his vehicles, all season, you know, things like that, and your tires just spin. Why don't they just allow studded tires in these kind of conditions? It's just one of those things that make you go, I guess.
KE4ZYQ, let me catch something on the phone here. I'll get back the next time around. KE4ZYQ.
All right. Hopefully I'm coming in a little bit clearer now. I'm further south. Donald, so I get about 3.5 commutes before the radio dies, which I think is pretty darn good. I mean, I could put a bigger battery in here, a 10-amp hour instead of a 7-amp hour, and probably get a full week's worth of commute, but I've got that 10-amp in my 857 bag for the HF and UHF, VHF side of the house. But I used yesterday as an excuse to go buy a Noco Genius charger. I've been wanting one forever, and I've been using these crappy chargers that come with BioNO and Dakota Lithium, and I'm glad that I went and bought a Noco. Way, 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 way nicer.
When I purchased my fleet of Motorolas 5 years ago, each HT that I bought has extra batteries. You get a battery and they throw in an extra one. And now these batteries are 5 years old, and when I was down in Daytona this past weekend, I take my radio and I grab one extra battery. Well, I've come to find out now I've got two bad batteries that have, you know, gone past their cycle life. And, you know, when you rotate 8 batteries among 4 radios, one radio's up in the UP, and I tell them to rotate their batteries on their one HT that they have. But because we only talk DMR on that. But anyway, I got to get some batteries after I get done with Daytona this coming weekend. My batteries are starting to go after 5 years of cycling and rotating and everything like that. I've done my best to do it the right way, and they're starting to go. So I'm actually on eBay right now starting to look for replacement batteries for my Motorola HTs. For the amount of use they get, 5 years, I guess, is a fair amount of life. Maybe they should have lasted longer. I don't know. I still have one set that's still working fine, but the battery backups for those four radios. I don't know about the one up in Forrester, because I haven't really looked at it that closely when I go up to see my girlfriend's parents, but, excuse me, yeah, so, but no, I get it with these bag things and, you know, the kind of chargers you need and everything else, but if I'm an excuse just to, you know, allow you to purchase a nice new gadget, I guess I give myself the attaboy for the day award. If Joe's not back, over to you, Dakota. Or anybody else who's out there, we'll leave space for you.
KU4GYQ, I'm back. I think I got it. Well, guys, I got an interesting, maybe interesting to me, but not to you. Interesting thing, if you use a radio, ham radio at home, a base unit, and you got the volume knob where it's all black, and there's a little white line on the round part of the curve, and you can't see it when you wonder what the volume's set at. I took a whiteout, little pen whiteout thing that used to whiteout letters when you typed on a typewriter and you made a mistake. But you get this whiteout pen with a little tiny tip on it, and you make a little white line on the face of your knob, and that way you know where the volume or whatever knob you're dialing, where it's actually at. How about that? Technology, interesting. Over to, I think, Dakota.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if any of my radios have a white line on the volume knob. The radio I'm using right now, there's no indicators on any of the knobs. They're just black. But they don't, yeah, I'm trying to think. No. I don't know. I just grab and go left or right if I have to.
My Motorola fleet has both the little lines on the, they don't have them on my mobile unit, my mobile base radios, my XPR5550. They actually have a bar graph on the screen. But my HT, I'm talking about, you know, with my battery issues right now, they have the little white line on the knob and the bar graph. So every time I adjust the volume, I get a dual readout on that. But, my Wuxon that I'm talking on today has got a little line and no bar graph. And then my Bufang has nothing. No, nothing. There's no volume thing or anything like that. You just guesstimate the volume setting for those. And that's about it on my radio fleet. Joe, back to you, sir.
Yeah, well, I got kind of picky with my 991A Yaesu, because if you're sitting here in the shack and you're looking at the front of the radio, yeah, you got the bar graph, you got this and that, and see how much you're, you know, transmitting power-wise, whatever, but the volume control knob on the bottom right corner is totally black except for the tiniest little white line on the curved part of the knob where you're not looking at it because you can't see it, looking at the face of it. So I put a line right on the face of the knob, from the middle of the knob out to the end edge, where the actual white line is on the rounded part. So I can actually say, oh, it's almost halfway up volume. So I don't know. Hey, you know, you kind of, what do they call that, jerry rig? I wonder how Jerry feels about that. Always talking about jerry rig. Over to you, Dakota.
Donald, you just reminded me that I have a Wuxon, Wuxian, or whatever the hell they're called, somewhere in my house I gotta find.
I don't know if you have an HT or a mobile unit, but I mean, my little HT here is from their, what they call their SHTF line of radios, and they have some nice radios. But the first one I ever bought from them was their GMRS unlockable only radio. And I still have it. My girlfriend carries it with her because she can't talk on ham. and she just piggybacks off my GMRS license. But that little radio and the one that I have now, the ham version, which has been tricked up a bit. I mean, this thing's got everything in it but the kitchen sink, nor will it pour me a drink. But I'm talking on it now for 8 watts. Well, I'm not running 8 watts because I'm on my notes, so I'm only running 1 watt. It's a solid, solid little radio, and I like them. I tell people if you're going to invest in a nice SHTF radio, take a look at these this brand of radio. And for the price, I can't complain. They've modified them at least 3 times over, especially the ham model, KGUVX, or UV9PX. I'm reading it right off the radio, and I can't even read it right. God, this is a rough morning. But anyway, they're just great little radios, and I like them for what they do and for what I need. I don't have to carry around my Motorola and draw attention all the time. It's my little everyday go-to.
Yeah, KG4ZYQ. And I don't know if you guys realize, not that it's a big news or anything majorly to talk about, but everybody calls it Bofang, Bofang, Bofang. And it's actually pronounced Bofang. Bofang. Japanese or whatever, Chinese. Bofang. What were you, Dakota?
NADDF. I only have one of those radios left. Should actually break it out because it's a funny radio. It's one of those huge, I can't remember the model number. Big 10 watt, looks like an old school radio with a gooseneck antenna. Can actually get into repeaters from my kitchen.
Well, I have an original KPUV5R 5 watt version 1. I mean, this thing's like one of the originals, and I've only had my license a little over a year and a half now. And another radio operator over in West Bloomfield got me one as a gag gift when I got my ham ticket and says, you're an amateur ham radio operator. You have to have a Bofang somewhere, or Bofang, or whatever Joe was trying to say. You know, you have to have one of those in your fleet somewhere just so you can be considered an actual ham operator. And I remember going to breakfast after I actually activated it. It took me almost a year to activate it. It's only been activated now for about 6 months. I took it to breakfast with me, and I was joking with the guys at the Hazel Park Amateur Radio Club, the group that pretty much sponsors our Saturday morning breakfast. I showed it to them. I said, look, I'm an official ham operator now. I got a Bofang in my fleet and not my big expensive Motorola. And they all, like, applauded me, and I felt, you know, and now I felt like I was one of the gang now that I have a Bofang in my fleet. But, however, Bofang's made some strides lately. I guess some of the guys have purchased this new Bofang 32 DMUV or something, or DM32UV. That's analog, digital, DMR capable, dual readouts, you know, and stuff like that. And they're selling them for, like, under $70. I mean, I think a couple people that bought them, they paid like in the mid-50s for them. So I guess they're a decent radio for what they get for the money. You know, you got quality with some value, but the key word there is quality, and I guess the Bofang people have up their game a little bit to be in the competition circle. Joe, over to you.
Guys, I'll blow your mind, since I've been around a while, had ham radios for a while. I got an old, realistic Radio Shack HTX-202, 2-meter band HT ham radio. That thing works still, and luckily I was fortunate enough that I had thought to buy the cartridge that is the battery, that is one you can put AA batteries in. Several batteries in, because the old cartridges are hard to find to put on that radio, the rechargeable ones. So that's pretty interesting there. If you're not familiar with it, look up HTX-202, a 2-meter band, realistic radios, sold at Radio Shack multi-years ago. Over to you, Dakota.
cool and old like that. The oldest radio I have from, I think the day code was like 2006. The VHDF that I bought off the shop. Kind of going through what I have in my head. I only use like three-ish radios right now. Mobile in my one truck, the portable mobile I have, and maybe an AC or two. Haven't really been keeping up with anything new coming out. I haven't seen anything. Have you guys been paying any attention to what's coming out or no?
I haven't heard or I haven't really looked at much of anything that's new. It's just stuff, like I said, this one particular Bofang that just came out. I know which one you're talking about, Dakota, the one that you have. It's like the predecessors to the one that's out now. The new one that Bofang has out is looks like an APX series radio with the offset control knob for the volume. It's almost an identical dead ringer to it. But, knock off, whatever you want to call it. But, I haven't, the oldest thing I have still, and it's in storage, and I know it still works because I pulled it out about 15 years ago, is my old 23-channel realistic Navajo CB radio with an aftermarket variable frequency oscillator on it. So it was able to dial up beyond the original 23-channel radios. And it could talk all the way into a partial 11-meter, or excuse me, 10-meter band. And to you, Joe, the HTX, or XTS, whatever it was, 202 or whatever, I remember that radio and its sister radio, the UHF version, which I think was designated 204. I wasn't into ham radio back then, but I almost considered buying the UHF version of that exact radio, and I kind of, in a way, kicked myself that I didn't buy one of those just to have around. But I do remember those Radio Shack amateur ham radios they had, and those were some nice radios back in the day for sure. Over to you, Joe.
Yeah, the other version, 204, I think you said it was. I think Jeff, KE8MLF, has that one, the 441. HT. I have still a couple old CB radios, 40-channel CB radios, and I have a couple old mobile ham radios. Couldn't even tell you what the name of them is. Obviously, I think they were realistic or something. Whoever the Radio Shack sold, and that. I wish I would have my what was that? A Sigma 5H ground plane antenna that I used to use for CB. I don't know if you could modify that or work that with ham radio, but it was a pretty good size omnidirectional antenna. Over to you, Dakota from KE4ZYQ in the group.
I tried CB. I modified my FC710 that I sold. I was really talking to the truck drivers that were dumping dirt in my yard when we were working on it this past summer. And then after that, I was like, oh, they have CB-HDs. Like, I'll try one of those out. I drove around for like 3 days, didn't hear a single thing. And I did a test on my radio that was at my house with my wife. I had her turn it on and listen to channel 19 or whatever the hell was on. And I could see my house. And she couldn't hear me, so I was like, I'm returning this thing. So I've not dabbled with any CB, but yeah, maybe that's what I'll do this morning. It's a little bit slow this week. I'll peruse the new releases. The radio's slow. It's not like there's annual releases unless you're a Chinese manufacturer.
I can agree with that. I haven't really seen much in anything new. I mean, I am looking more into amateur radios or commercial radios. Combination commercial amateur capability, and I know people like Wally, he's into that kind of radio. We have similar interests, multi-purpose radios, a cost-effective kind of a thing. But yeah, I also had one other CB I was going to mention. It was not a popular or well-known brand. It was Colt, C-O-L-T, and 485 single sideband, It was also a 23-channel radio when I had it converted over at Bell Electronics there in St. Clair Shores. It's A-Bell now. There was a roost over, you know, Ma Bell and everything like that back in the day. But they did a lot of radio customization. And there was a state trooper that I knew that lived in my subdivision. He says, if you ever get rid of that CB radio, I want it. I said, okay, I'll keep you in mind. And about 4 or 5 years down the road, I sold it when I got rid of CB altogether. And he's probably well retired by now because he's got to be close to my age. And so he's probably retired from the force. But he loved that radio. When he got it in his vehicle, he actually had some kind of mount rig where he could mount it inside of his state trooper vehicle. He loved that radio, how well it worked. But it was tricked out by Bell Electronics, and it was capable of running more power, more channels up to 40, by just flipping the normal switches. It was all internal. And then it had a frequency counter that was mounted to the bottom. And he loved that radio, and I wish to God I never got rid of it, because it was a heck of a CB back in those days. They're hard to find now, even on eBay, these 485s. So they're around, but, you'll never find one new in the box, new old stock, I think, those days for those kind of radios of any kind, whether they're CBs or hams like the HTs that Joe mentioned. Yeah, they're long gone. And you might find one on eBay, but it's going to be a hard find for sure. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ, well, a lot of memories here. I, talking about CB, I still have, I think somewhere, a Cobra. Cobra was a big name in CB back then. Cobra 23-channel, I think I got a 40-channel, and I don't know what brand, I don't think it was Cobra, 40-channel CB that did sideband. And the Cobra radio that was 23-channel had a couple toggle switches, and like some radios, could have a PA system. If you plugged in a PA system, you know, a speaker horn in your engine area, like a police cop or somebody would do, put one of those in there, you plug it into the back of your radio, and you can turn it on PA and use your CB as a PA of your car. I think I did that briefly for a short time one time with one of mine. But, talk about old times, and having old radios like that is pretty interesting. But to find somebody that has one you can talk to, I don't know. And some of those folks may not be ones you want to talk to because they're like the olden days, a bunch of noise. Over to you, Dakota.
Yeah, I missed the heyday of that. I was never, I honestly don't know if I've ever made a TV contact that wasn't a truck driver in my yard. So, never did much with it. Didn't do much with GMRS either. I did for a bit, I guess. But really, I just focused on the ham gear and screwing around over there and finding what I can find. So, traffic is horrendous today. Clearly, yesterday was a holiday because it took me about 3 times as long to get to work.
Probably some other people that are going back to work today after having the day off are a little bit behind, and that's probably another reason why you're on the road, is because it's like, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. I don't care. I'll get there. I guess the word is lollygaggers. I mean, there's the regular guys that go in on their normal times no matter what. And then the ones who get the extended time off and they'll just get there when they get there. You know, the boss will understand. He had the day off yesterday too, kind of a thing. So I get that part. Yeah, for me, CB, I was on it in probably, 1970. Oh, geez. I mean, I didn't really get into CB until after I got out of high school in 74, so I'm going to guess 75, 76 when I had my Camaro. I had a CB. That was my first CB in a car. And what we used to do, 696 there at I-94 is like 2 blocks from my parents' house. And I was good friends with a lot of people in the St. Clair Shores Police Department. And we used to hide in the construction of the half over to the interchange. We used to hide up at the highest point, which would be eastbound 696 to eastbound I-94 entrance ramp. But we used to hide at the top of that crown of that interchange and just sit up there in the middle of the night and talk on our radios. Myself, two
two or three other CBRs and about a half a dozen cop cars from St. Clair Shores and Roseville. We all just sit up there and hang out. And people can hear us, but nobody can see us because we were in a certain corner of the interchange. And it's like, where are you guys at? We're at 696 and 994. We went through that whole thing. We can't find you guys anywhere. Well, you know, it wasn't all opened up yet, and there was a couple spots we just hit. But those were the fun days when, you know, cops were fun, and they got their CVs, they had their fun, and we had our fun with them, for sure. Joe, over to you.
Yeah, well, first of all, not to change the subject abruptly for any particular reason, but are you guys pretty set on backup power systems? I know I've purchased in the past and really so far been pretty happy and lucky to get the EcoFlow Delta 2 backup power systems that can be charged by solar, by AC, by cigarette lighter plug-in. Got great display, great use, great function, and made very well for any readout on their dial that's not built into the unit. It's easier than building your own backup battery system with all sorts of meters and hookups and charging cables and that. It's all pretty and transportable. But I'll throw that out for what it's worth. Over to Dakota, the guy that's is so important they named a state after him. Go ahead.
I'm going to make this one my final. I can see my driveway here, so I'm going to clear out, but maybe I will catch you guys this afternoon. If not, have a good day, and I'm sure I'll catch you in the morning. So, you guys carry on. I'm going to get out and get in the office here. N8, DDF.
Okay, Dakota. Have a great day. Yeah, I missed you on the way home because I did finally pass out and get a nap in, so I was able to do that. I actually have about maybe 9 hours of sleep in the last 24 hours, so yeah, I'm pretty much back to abnormality like the rest of us, so I'm good there. And Joe, do you, with regards to backup power, my senior campus here is kind of funny. When we have power failures, obviously we have generators that power the essentials, but they don't power the individual units here, so my unit apartment, my little box that I live in. I don't have power. I just go down the hallway into the laundry room and plug in anything that's USB power capable, like my two-way radios, my cell phone, things like that, my tablet on my I have a laptop computer, but excuse me, I can at least plug in my tablet and have that kind of stuff. But if the internet goes down with the power, that's a whole different story. But you catch what I'm saying. I am looking at a power device that's a dry cell type thing from a company called Goal Zero, and you can recharge it a variety of ways or with solar panels. And if I can this year, I'm going to invest in one of those just so I have power for my radios and not so much my refrigerator, because I learned that if you know inclement weather's coming, not to have a lot in your refrigerator because sometimes the power's gone down. But we've had some improvements to our building in recent years that we haven't really lost power. I don't think we've lost power except for a few minor blackouts, you know, of under an hour in the last 3 years, I think 3 or 4 years ago. Let's see, 2025. I would say 2022 was the last time we had a major power failure that we were without power for over a week. And the most we ever went without power here in all the time I lived here was 18 days. But that was after I first moved in here. But, emergency backup power, I don't really need it, but I do want to invest in something somewhere down the road. Over to you, sir.
Yep, I probably missed Dakota, but 7-3 to Dakota until next time, if any. KE4CYQ. Well, when you said Goal Zero, you hit the nail on the head with one of the units I bought a while back. It's a backup battery system. It's a Yeti 1000. If you got a paper and pencil, want to look it up so you know what I'm talking about eventually, look it up later. But a Yeti 1000, I bought that. That was one of my first purchases of a battery backup for radio, whatever. And since then, I looked into, and you may want to look it up before you buy the Yeti that you're talking about, or the Gold Zero, rather, which is Yeti is Gold Zero. It's just the name of one of their units. I would look up EcoFlow Delta 2. It's a very compact, very well made. It has its own meter system of reading charges, discharges, you know, everything about it, the readout display, and multiple plug-ins and plugs out. You know, if you want to charge certain things, USB or something else, you know, you got different plug-ins and plug-outs that go outward. And EcoFlow, I'm pretty happy with. It's rated pretty good, and they have sales on sometimes where you save several dollars. I'm talking about $100 here, $200 maybe, whatever. I got one of mine for almost half price on sale. Exact same unit. They were charging twice as much. It wasn't an old model. It wasn't a bad model. It wasn't a discontinued model. It was a good one. So there you go. Back to you.
Well, in the years that I've been retired, which was 12 now, 13. Yeah, I've been retired for 13, living here for 12. I'll get the numbers right. I guess I have a dyslexic moment every so often. Can't even say it, let alone know the definition of it. But yeah, when I go out and make these investments on things like this, I do my homework, I do my research, I do my price shopping, price comparisons. So that, Joe, I pretty much have down to a science, and I think about what I'm going to get. I mean, my Motorola radios, I got below cost. I had a fire sale that I just happened to pick up on. Being in the right place at the right time, and those radios went fast. And I was going to go back and get a couple more, and the guy said, nope, they're all gone. And I said, okay. But anyway, yeah, I definitely I've heard of all the brands, and I'm kind of set on Gold Zero. Unless something really, really great comes out in that Eco one that you mentioned as well. I remember glancing at those. But for what I need and so on and so forth, and they're kind of, I think I can get away with it here in my senior campus because, you know, we can't even have anything in the way of a generator in our apartment sitting outside a window or out on our balconies that are gas-powered or anything like that. They're pretty strict about those kind of things. Some people have tried. But they've gotten caught, and usually because of the gas smell that comes off of them or whatever. But, yeah, I'm doing my research, and I have talked to management of what I can and cannot do and same thing else, other things. But I'm also working on getting an outside antenna, and, of course, I can't put an outside antenna out here. But the one thing I have is height, and being 85 feet up in the air, I really don't need much of an antenna, but I want to get a small outside antenna. That's either going to be a directional beam antenna that's going to point towards Detroit because I'm on the south side of the campus or something to that effect. But, yeah, I try to do my research and pricing and everything else and work with what I can get away with and what I can't get away with. But I've been here 13 years, and nobody's given me a hard time about anything that I'm doing so far.
KE4ZYQ, yeah, well, like yourself, I've done a lot of investigating, reading, and checking, and comparisons, and watching sales, and reading reports of reviews of the items like that. And like I said, those EcoFlow Delta 2s are a LiFePOL 4 battery, not just a lithium-ion, but LiFePOL 4. So they're more advanced than just the lithium-ion. And I even went to the extent and bought a couple of Renogy 100-watt solar panels. And I live in a condo, so I'm limited kind of like what you're doing. I can't put anything outside, on the roof, outside, even on the patio, whatever. So I got an attic antenna, as you may already know, a Comet GP3. Got some 100-watt solar panels and a den window that looks like a curtain. It actually looks like a curtain on the window, and it just fits perfect with no hardware to mount it. It just sits right in the groove of the sliding window that slides side to side. So it just fit perfectly. They made that solar panel perfect. And in the wintertime, especially, the sun's at about a 45-degree angle, so it's actually coming in the back of the house pretty well. So I can charge the Yeti 1000 as I'm using it, which I do once to twice a year, or twice a month. I put all my radio on backup power, run it all day from morning till night, and the solar panels charging at the same time so it doesn't deplete the battery too fast. So it's pretty neat to figure that stuff out and, you know, like a emergency scenario thing, have a dry run once in a while. Back to you.
Yep, accident. I mean, you're 100% correct. Absolutely. My tower is 9 stories high. I'm up on the 8th floor, and I have a balcony, and my balcony is open sky, so the 9th floor does not have a balcony. They just have a picture window above me. But with an open sky like this, and being out, putting a small antenna outside is really all I need. I have a small 8-inch rubber blade on glass antenna that I'm using now, and it does the work for what I need on my base unit. But I want to get something outside, and that's the number one project for the spring, and I'm working on that. Then I'll follow that up with the power supply, and then after that, go into maybe one other radio. I might buy a VHF unit. I don't know. I'm not looking, but I'm just getting ideas of how much that's going to set me back. But anyhow, I'm going to wrap this up. I've got to get my day started because I'm heading back to Florida tomorrow night. Hopefully, the weather, I can get out of Detroit the way they're talking right now. I might have to contact our flight team and see if there's going to be any changes for that. So that's going to be worked on today. So you, Joe, have a great day. Pleasure always listening to you on the radio, doing some memorizing of the old days of radio and so on and so forth, and you are a pleasure to talk to. So you have a great day. We'll be monitoring in and out throughout the day. All the best to you. W8RCY, we are clear for now.
Back at you with pleasure and privilege to talk to you guys, you in particular too. And good to reminisce a little bit about old times and rack the old memory about what the equipment and different things and happenings back way back when. So, hey, safe travels there and back, whatever, wherever you go, safe travels. And bring back some warm weather when you come back, you know, whenever that is. And I'm ready for spring already. So I don't have to go out much in anything, so I can't really complain. But I like it when it's better weather. It saves on the heating bill, that's for sure. I'd rather have cooling bills than heating bills. But 73 for now from KE4ZYQ, and thanks for the compliment. I owe you some money or something. 73, KE4ZYQ, clear.
Money is never necessary, even though it is a need. But, keep doing what you're doing, and, like they always say, always wake up above the dirt rather than below the dirt. So you have a wonderful day. Take care. W8RCY. We're out of here.
73KE4ZYQ, clear frequency.
Good morning, Tom, KE8LAX.
Morning, Dean.
Where they got you headed today?
Oh, just Highland Park at a juvenile correction facility. I go show them how to program doors, blah, blah, blah. But I got to go to my orthopedic surgeon again because fell on my shoulder about just after the new year and it hasn't been right since, so I think I messed it up.
Well, that's no good. I hope everything's
I hope they don't find anything too badly messed up in there.
You're not the only one. I find out if it's just irritated muscle or if I pulled something, because I went down hard.
Well, I hope all is well. I'm just sitting in the parking lot over here doing some computer work, and I go in at 9, so just putzing around, wasting some time.
What? Employment opportunity number 3? Or are you talking about the shop?
Number 3. It's a 4-day orientation. I'm on day 2.
So what will you be doing now, sir? I mean, you got the shop, you got the photography.
Well, the shop's not a full-time thing. I don't think I've been there in two, three weeks. The photography's slow, but that's usually only a weekend thing. And this, I will most likely be dispatching.
Sweet. Same place as our EC?
That is correct.
Better people to hire than radio operators.
Well, that was kind of my thought. You know, I play with radios all day long. Why not, you know, make some money doing it, you know? It just a side thought. I think it'll be good. And they seem to offer quite a bit, actually. But yeah, I'm not going to go too ungodly far on the air. We can talk more about it in person. But yeah, it seems like a good opportunity.
Oh no, it's a good opportunity. You know, I was thinking of doing that back in L.A., but that would have been a very large demographic area. And then I've had people ask me why I'm not on actual radio, you know, like a radio station. And I explained, I said, it doesn't pay a lot.
That is true. And in today's, you know, day and age, it's difficult to have just one person in a household making money nowadays. It's almost a must-have two-person income in a household nowadays, which is wild. Things have changed a lot over the, you know, the last, let's say, 40 years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my home, you know, my homestead has always been a single income. Better half did some stints here and there, you know, but my kids are all grown, so, geez, they're your age. So, no need for it. Plus, getting finances down makes it a little bit more comfortable to get by.
Yeah, I think my biggest hindsight was I definitely wish that I would have been more prepared to become a homeowner before COVID rolled around and the housing market skyrocketed. I think that's one of my biggest regrets. But yeah, I'm still in it, and you know, we're getting by. But I definitely wish I would have had my stuff together better before then, but it's all good.
Absolutely. Things can only get better.
That's the goal. But anyway, Tom, I'm gonna say 73s here for now. I'm gonna get my laptop and everything packed up and get ready to walk in here. And I'll probably be out about 5-ish, so maybe I'll catch you on the air then. This is KE8LAX, I'll be clear on your final.
Sounds good, sir. Enjoy the training. I think you have a great opportunity there, and you will excel at it. KZO.
TOTDIS. TOTDIS.
WAVDNAWRO. NAWRO, clear.
KE8RUH.
W8NSC.
NADBF.
K8RUH, what's going on, Dakota?
Leaving the office. Are you on your way home or on your way home from work?
Oh, I'm on my way home from work, indirectly. I had to make a stop in Clinton Township, and now I'm on Jefferson and 15 Mile.
Oh, you were in my neck of the woods.
Oh, I didn't get that close. I didn't get that close to Hull Road. My goodness. You know how it is. Your people like to stay away north of Hull Road, and my people like to stay south of Hull Road.
That's correct to an extent, but I prefer, like, stay north of 32 Mile Road if possible.
Yeah, and I like staying in between Vernier and 10 Mile. I don't like getting north of 10 Mile or south of Vernier, so I totally get it.
I don't mind the commute, though. I can tolerate that. I just don't, you know, when I'm not working, you're not going to really see me down here.
I don't blame you. I'm much like you. I don't venture too far if it's not for work. I'm usually
in my neighborhood, general area, or if I'm outside of that area, I'm probably going up north.
My mom always gives me crap. She's like, you live in a bubble. I'm like, yeah, I like it that way. It's my bubble, and I don't have to be by people. So, yeah, just making my way home. Dude, that Melco charger is so nice. I wish I would have bought one sooner.
Yeah, I think I have the two, and they're awesome. They're so nice. They're just set it and forget it. It does its job. I think it'll even do, like, some reconditioning if you need. I can't remember, but they're worth every penny.
Yeah, they blow the crappy Dakota Lithium and Violino ones that I have out of the water. But I already fell back into the same dumb habit. I have three battery chargers in the same drawer at home. So I need to figure out how to affix the Snoco to the bag, or maybe get a new bag or something along those lines. So if I have to, I can bring it in and charge it. That was the first time I actually killed that 7 amp hour. But it makes sense because one of the times I was talking on that radio, I was commuting home in a snowstorm. So I bet you I had, I don't know, at least an hour of talk time on it, more than it normally would. So I'd say I could get 4 days normal commute on a 7 amp. But yeah, that thing's super nice. I didn't have to buy any adapters either, which I thought was very nice because those Dakota Lithiums have the F-type connectors, the little battery tabs. They don't have a built-in soldered whip like the Bioenos do, so I made my own pigtail that goes from those connectors to a power pole, so it's easy to just pop that off and clamp the charger on.
Yeah, that's perfect. I've bought a couple of their different connectors, the alligator clamp style. I think I have at least one that is Anderson power pole, and then maybe another one that's some sort of barrel connector. But they're awesome, and they have connectors. They sell their own that are the connectors for almost every connection. It's awesome.
I'm assuming I could buy a pigtail for their little plug thing to change the connectors out. That would be bare pigtail to bare wire so I could terminate power poles, or what would you recommend? Because the convenient part about how this bag is set up is I can just open the front pouch where the battery's at, disconnect the radio from the battery and plug it in that way versus taking the battery out, taking the pigtail off, and then clamping it.
Yeah, I think they either sell one that's Anderson power poles, or I bought a bare end one, or I just went out and bought the cheapest one that they had and cut the ends off and put power poles on. I can't remember. But they have all of them on Amazon, so just buy the cheapest one and cut the connectors off. I think they make a ring connector, an alligator clip connector, you know, maybe alligator clip's the wrong terminology. They're bigger, like battery clips. And I can't remember what else, but there's all different connectors. I imagine they make one that's Anderson. But yeah, look on Amazon. You'll be able to find it and have it tomorrow if you want, I'm sure.
All right, yeah, that's probably what I'll do. I mean, I guess I could cannibalize the ones that came with it, but I actually kind of like them because I can use this for other things. And the clamps are pretty universal versus a power pole, which the only stuff I have that's power pole is radio. But, yeah, all in all, super happy with it. I was charging the battery within about 2 seconds of opening it up. I just had to put it in lithium mode, which it does officially support lithium iron phosphate, which I was happy to see. And I bought the 1 amp because the batteries I have are small, and you're supposed to charge at, I think it's 1C of the capacity or something along those lines, or half a C. So it equated about an amp, so I figured that'd be good enough.
Yeah, that's perfect. I bought the 2 when I have a 100 amp hour battery. Actually, I have 2 of them that I was trying to charge. So that's why I bought the bigger one. But I think, you know, I could have went even bigger. but I think I'm pretty safe with that NOCO 2. It does its job. The other nice thing is they are like a battery maintainer. So like if you needed it on your four-wheeler battery or something like that, you could just throw it on there too.
Yeah, I wish I would have started buying these sooner. I have a battery tender, which is like, I think they call it a battery buddy. And then I've got a Schumacher, some other one. They're both like main brand reputable ones, but the battery tenders are expensive. I think that one was like $40, and that's all it is a trickle charger. It's not even, I think it's like a half amp maybe. So it's really not meant to do anything other than maintain a battery. But yeah, I noticed that too. I keep my lawnmower on one. I've had that one forever, that little battery buddy or battery tender, whatever the hell it's called. And then I just bought that Schumacher one for the four-wheeler, which I actually have not had hooked up, and I probably should go hook up when I get home, because I have not started that in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, you probably should do that, especially as cold as it's supposed to be over the next 5 to 7 days.
Yep, that jogged my memory, so thank you. I'm going to do that when I get home, because when I got that four-wheeler, I went through the whole thing and, like, just completely maintenanced it and, you know, went through it all. And I noticed that the guy I bought it from, he just changed the battery because the voltage regulator was charging at, like, 19 volts or 20 volts, which was going to cook that battery. So it already had some damage to it, so I should probably try to baby it. Where did you get 100-amp-hour batteries, and what chemistry are they? Because I've been looking at those eco-worthy batteries on Amazon that are super cheap lithium iron phosphates, and they've got incredibly good reviews, and you can get a 20 amp hour for $59.
So, like every other ridiculous thing that I have, they came in at work. A company that we deal with, every once in a while will have like a road sign sort of thing with some solar on it. Unfortunately, this particular setup did not come with the solar panels, but they did send in the two batteries. They're lithium iron phosphate, and they work pretty well. I mean, I use them, basically they're just like, at this point, I just have them hooked up with a inverter, a 2,000-watt inverter, and whenever the power goes out, I can basically run the internet, a television, a fan, some stuff like that, and that's really all the use I get out of them. But if you're looking for a 20-amp-hour battery, I might have some that I could give you a sweet deal on, and they are really nice batteries. Actually, Greg and Dave have a couple of them.
W-A-R-C-Y.
Good afternoon, Donald. Send me some info on those, Anthony. I'm really looking to do what you're talking about, like a big 100-amp or like put 200 amps, in parallel with each other, or in series, it's in parallel, just as a battery bank for that exact reason. So if you come across anything like that, let me know. I was looking at the Dakota Lithium ones. I'm not spending that kind of money as a backup battery. It's just insane. But I like batteries, because especially, I mean, I got the generator, but it is nice that in the event that I lose power for a little bit, I can run stuff. So that's really what I was looking for. Go ahead, Donald.
I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation, but could one of you guys give me a quick audio check on this radio? I did some repair work on the speaker mic. I'm just wondering if it's coming through okay. So if it just be a quick in and out. One of you guys give me a quick audio check, please.
Yeah, Donald, you're sounding pretty good. Whatever your repair was, it was a success. Dakota, yeah, the one that I have set up, I use it at night if the power's out, because I don't run my generator at night being in the city. I would like to keep my generator, so I don't run it overnight. I throw it back in my garage, but then with these 100 amp hour batteries and an inverter, I'm able to, like I said, run my router, run a TV, run a fan, things like that. It actually works out really well.
Yeah, Donald, I think you're sounding good. And Anthony, yeah, so my network cabinet runs on a crappy ATC UPS, like a $150 one off Amazon. I think it's only 1,000 volt amps or whatever the hell it is. I hate how UPSs are not like a sensible metric that I can understand. I can convert it. But I would like to figure out how to have it on like my managed PU. I would like to have that, which is running that whole cabinet, on that sort of like inverter, kind of acting like a UPS, right? Because a 100 amp hour battery would definitely get me by for a few hours running the whole house as far as internet and all that crap, because that's really the only thing I care about at that point.
Yeah, I would imagine it would work out good for, you know, keeping your router going, and heck, maybe even anything that you have PoE, because I would imagine most of that stuff is low draw, like cameras and things like that.
Thanks, guys. I'm out of here. Appreciate the honest answer. WASCY.
Donald, yeah, that's basically it, Anthony. The thing that sucks the most, is Starlink, because that dish, especially when it's cold out, is defrosting all the time, so it's pulling, like, sometimes 80 watts, which is annoying, and it drains my UPS in, like, 10 minutes, but it is what it is.
And you could hook that Starlink up to a different power source. That's what I would do. I'd have two separate power sources, not allow the Starlink to draw off the other stuff. Then you'd be able to manage the battery bank better for each thing. If you're drawing that heavy on the Starlink, have it run independent of all that other stuff for the power.
I would, but my managed PDU, I have a unified managed PDU that has a signed plug, it's got network connectivity through the controller and everything. Everything plugs into that. So it'll auto-reboot my modem if the internet drops trying to restore connection. It'll auto-reboot Starlink if it drops trying to restore connection. So it kind of does a lot of stuff for me, to where I have literally according to my dashboard, I have 100% uptime over the last month. So it's working well, but I guess I could figure out how to just kind of branch off Starlink and have it on its own thing.
Like that, it probably makes sense to leave it that way.
All right, hopefully I'm coming in okay. I had to switch repeaters here.
Yep, I just picked you up, but hey, man, I just pulled in the driveway. And I'm going to get out and get into the warm house. Hopefully I'll catch you in the morning. KE8RUH.
All righty, sounds good. Yeah, I'll try to get out of bed at a decent time tomorrow and not get caught working this before I leave the house. All right, man. Thank you. Yeah. Tom?
Nope, Mark. I'm up here in New Baltimore.
My bad. That first transmission was super rough. I couldn't catch you.
Not at all. KE8WNY. Just built a not enough test on dipole last night. Is it worth my while to keep it, or keep moving?
I think I copied that. So you said you built a dipole last night and you're trying to determine whether or not you're going to keep it. Couple questions. Are you inside or outside? And are you on a mobile or are you on an HT?
On an HT, it's one of those roll-up, I guess it's a J-pole, not a dipole. But, yeah, And inside, I've got it strung up upstairs, just trying to see if this thing's worth it or not.
It's working. I can definitely tell that the antenna's inside and that you're pushing a little bit lower power. I forgot what an N9LAI, N9TX, so I don't know. I have a roll-up like that. It works really, really well if I'm outside. I haven't tried it inside, but I think you got the antenna dialed in. I just think it's a result of your indoors.
Got it. Good deal. Next, I guess we need to start looking at the building. Building some sort of dipole, or not dipole, node within the house.
I guess another question would be, which repeater are you going into? And where was your QTH?
New Baltimore.
Can you hit the LTS machine?
Nothing beats a Comet 2x4 on a cookie sheet.
I get no joy trying to reach the LTS machine.
Is that what you're still using, Dave? And that's surprising. I figured if your location, well, maybe not. I'm surprised you can't hit the LTS machine, though, because that thing's up there.
Worth a shot.
What about Richmond? You try Richmond?
I haven't. What's the last letters on that one?
It should be KFBI.
(442) 225 123
To answer your question, Dakota, I'm on a signal stick.
On the FTX?
The 19.5-inch. One, the bigger one.
No, I meant, are you on the FTX radio?
No, I'm on the Quan Chain, T1 Mini.
Well, it's sounding good. I really like my, what is it, a K5? I still have, that's the only cheap radio I have that's like, has a decent antenna on. I put a diamond, RX3 on it just to screw around with at the house or whatever. And I took that radio to Vegas. I actually really like that radio for $29.
Yeah, this is the same radio, but they, well, not the same radio. They upgraded it. They put 2 megabyte flash in it, and they put some noise-canceling filter in it for the receive. And it's pretty good. It's only a 5-watt version. So they make the bigger Kong, which is 10 watts, and this is the mini Kong, which is 5 watts. Go look it up. It's on Amazon for $43 with the bigger antenna, whatever, and the bigger battery. But you probably don't want to buy any more AC, so I didn't tell you anything.
Station testing out the antenna. I forgot your call, and I apologize, but we're not cutting you out, so go ahead and chime back in if you got over to Richmond. And, yeah, no more HTs. I mean, I like them, but I don't really... I think I'll play with more HTs once I finish this project I'm working on at the house. Once that antenna's dedicated and doing something useful, then I'll probably use way more HTs. But right now, yeah, I like mobiles, battery-powered mobiles.
KF8S, yeah. The thing is, every time I go in the car, I bring the mobile in the car. Nobody's on, so I'm to the point now where I don't care anymore.
Hey, DBF. No, I hear you. There's a lot of times where I'll call out and I don't hear anything. anymore. I turn on the radio and I don't hear anything. But I've got this truck set up to where it's so quick and convenient compared to how I used to do it. Like, the mag mount just sits on the floor in the back seat. The coax already runs up to the front seat with a BNC on it. So all I have to do is, when I throw my backpack in the morning to go to work, smack the mag mount on the roof, sit down, unzip the front of the bag, pull my speaker mic out, unzip the top of the bag to see the radio, hook up the antenna to the BNC, and turn it on. So it's a very painless process to where the HD, I used to have to put the little cup holder thing in, and I used to have to hook it up to power, and then I used to have the speaker mic, and I used to have to loop the coax, and still sound like crap because I only have 5 watts. So, I don't know. I'm happy with it. Still can't believe I finally managed to kill it, though. I thought that 7 amp hour would go way longer than it did, but I guess now I have a little bit of data to go off of.
Yep, just leaving a little break there. So I put my little seed node, or seed, what is this called? The P1 Pro or whatever. I've been having that, I've been putting that in the sun. It's been handling the cold weather okay, but I'm only, you know, I can only talk to it like a mile and a half away. But I do see the Pine Tree Acres, and I see Riley's node down the road, so it must be reaching. It's just when you're moving, I don't think Meshtastic works very well when you're moving.
I was talking to TMR the other day about those P1s. It's like, for the money, so especially if you order them online, like from China, they're $80. Like, you literally cannot build that quality of a node for that cheap, like, anywhere. Like, I can't, I put a couple builds together. I mean, maybe if I went and did the same thing, I'd have bought the components from AliExpress. But the fact that it's just a turnkey node and all you got to do is charge it and update it, I guess you don't need to flash it because it comes pre-flashed. I just updated it, and it's about 12-ish, maybe a little bit more feet up in the air on a mast. And, yeah, it's charging enough to maintain. It's been at, like, 92% for 5 days. So I'm very happy with it. I need to get one. That's the weird thing is my Helltech V3 is in my server room, so I'm sure it's not getting out at all because that thing doesn't see any messages or any nodes, and I'm probably going to take it down and relocate it. But I cannot get any messages to you or ping you or anything from the office.
Yeah, I drove near your office, and I was pinging, and I didn't get anything, so I don't know. Well, I was a mile away, so that's not fair. I was not near your office, and I was moving, too, so, but there was a node at 19 and Hayes. Somebody's running a node over there, because it was pretty reliable for 2 miles down there.
Yeah, and you'd think I'd be able to hit that, so I think it's in a central room in the building, so that doesn't help at all, and there's tons of RF in that room, so I think I'm going to take it down and, I don't know, let it die and put it in a drawer never to be seen again. It's got a MoosieWorks on it, so I'll just repurpose it on my next node. But yeah, eventually I would like to get another P1 Pro and put it on the roof of my building, and I think that would be a very, very good gap bridge, because I guarantee you it would be Pine Tree, and then that would probably relay everything further south into Mount Clemens.
Now here's the thing, though. I don't think you need the Pro. If you don't need GPS, they make just a P1, no GPS in it. Those are perfect for, like, you're never going to move it, right? And then you just tell it what its GPS coordinates, and unfortunately you have to run a terminal command for that to tell it what GPS coordinates it is, but it's not the end of the world. And then you can put it up. And that one comes with no batteries. It's basically just what we've got with no GPS, no batteries. You just kind of bring your own batteries. And otherwise, it's the same deal.
Well, I have a bunch of 18650s left over from the last time I was doing this, so I've got no problem using those. Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing it in the wintertime because this is miserable. Well, it's a 17 right now. But eventually I'll get one up there, and I think that'll help.
I just put this so, like, on my second story window, I can open the window, and there's, like, a little tiny roof to the side of the house, so, and it just happens to face the sunny side of the house, you know, southern exposure, and so it's up about, 18 feet or however, first floor plus the ground or whatever, a little bit above the ground. So, but I think the one that's really doing well is the one that's inside, that's on that Pi, and it's powered. You know, it's got 1 watt going out of it with that alpha antenna. I think if I put that in my attic, and just put it somewhere else in the attic, it will be better than where it is now. But for right now, sorry, my voice is gone. For right now, that's good enough for now.
I checked Etsy and I did not see any more of those available. I think I actually said not available. So when it's running on a Pi, is there network connectivity? I'm sure you probably have yours connected to the internet, but for SSH and other purposes. But like once I configure it, can I just power it and be done?
Yeah, I configured mine. I mean, the whole purpose was I was going to put it in my attic last, you know, March or whatever. I just didn't, you know, get up there. But the idea was that it's on Wi-Fi, and the Pi, you know, it's in the attic, and the Pi was just like, I was just going to, like, strap it to one of the support beams, and then the antenna the same way, just kind of up there. And then I could, I could SSH into it. I could, you know, from remote, do OS update the... So the, you know, the repeater software or whatever, the mesh traffic software, all it is just compiled Python stuff that you get from somebody's repository, and it's just like a simple apt-get update, and you get the new version. So it's like, there's literally no flash. I mean, it's just updating the software, rebooting.
See, that would be perfect, but I don't have... I guess I could get, I don't know, I could probably put a PoE and all that. See, I don't know. Well, I could get power in my attic, that's easy. I have a junction box up there now for all the cabinet lighting that I could just tie in and put a plug in. The problem would be getting coax outside on my mast with an antenna because that's pretty much, I mean, it's only 1 watt. I'm going to lose so much if I run more than a couple feet, right? Like, it's not even worth it at that point.
Yeah, I would try to put it on your mast outside that you got your ham antenna on, and just, I think you can remote update them over Bluetooth, but I haven't confirmed that. I think they were, you know, when we stopped playing with this stuff, I think they were working on a way to remote update the stuff over Bluetooth. So you have to be in Bluetooth range. You might have to go outside and kind of stand, stand up or something to reach it, but, I mean, as far as getting the Bluetooth close enough, usually you can go two stories with Bluetooth, so no problem. So if it's up like 30 feet and you're at the ground, I think you'll be fine. But yeah, I would just put your solar node on your mast, on your, because you've already got that mast out there, or unless you think it's going to be too heavy.
No, that's where the P1 is. That's on the mast. I'm talking if I put one of those 1 watt hats in a Pi, how I would deploy that, because it's really not a good way at my house. Without having a bunch of coax ran to get the antenna outside, and then there goes all my loss. Or there's all my loss with my 1 watt that I started with. So I don't know. I'm going to run the P1. I think it's worth good enough. I was texting you from my kitchen the other morning. It said acknowledge the green lock, so I'm assuming you got those delivered.
Yeah, typically what happens is it goes from me to Pine Tree Acre, and then it goes to your buddy, and then in Romeo, and then it comes up to you. That's usually the path it takes, which means it's going more than 22 miles.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. That's good enough for me. And yeah, my map, I'm looking at it right now, pulling the driveway. I got to get up there and adjust it because I hate how it's leaning off the house, even though it's perfectly straight for the top section, so talking of film. still, I don't think I clamped it properly on that last section. But once I'm up there, I'm going to move that note higher. But on that note, I am pulling in. So I will catch you later. Thank you, Hunt. Fantastic. I declare for yours. NAPDF.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about having a 1-watt node. If you can get a 5 dB gain antenna on that solar node, I think that's as good as you're going to be able to get, because you won't have to deal with losses or anything, because you're right there. So, all right, talk to you later. KF8S.
KF8S, KPR.
Hey, Phil, I saw your messages. Were you able to finally unlock it or whatever?
No, I don't know what's going on here. Are there instructions anywhere how to actually do this? And what is a setting called full test mode? Do you know what that does?
That was the mode that allowed Sean to, like, press a few buttons on the 878 and then get into this odd mode where you could, like, calibrate the frequency and stuff like that. But you have to do, like, key presses to get in there. So even though you tell it 14 test mode, it's just unlocking, you know, it's just unlocking the frequencies at that point. But it's not going to put it in any dangerous mode where you're going to change the frequency calibration or anything like that. That's an extra set of buttons. I can't remember if I had to put it in that DFU mode, you know what I'm talking about, where you flash the firmware, or if it was fine, you know, putting it in normal mode, you know, just turning on the 878 and then running that AC option program.
All right, so you put it in the, like, just as if, like, you're going to update the firmware, and then you run the options thing?
No, I think you can leave it in the regular mode, just turn it on like you would normally turn on, and I think as long as the code plug software is reading the radio, then that should be good enough. You might have to shut the code plug software off before you run the AT option program. You know, close it down. It's only one thing that's trying to use the serial port.
Yeah, I tried that. Hold on a second. Let me, over here. Let me try going back into this thing here. See what happens. So when I was finally able to select the COM port, but it was difficult because it keeps refreshing the COM port list for some reason.
Yeah, that's strange. Yeah, I didn't have that happen to me. Have you updated the firmware and everything else on the radio? Everything else before I did the AC option stuff, or the AC option thing was the last thing I did.
Well, let's see, what's latest firmware? Let's see, 1.03, let's see what the radio has in it. Info, let's see. Oh, it's version 1.02. Oh, I better try that first. All right. Let me give that a shot and see what happens.
Alrighty. Yeah, I don't know if it matters, but that's the sequence I went in. It's been a while, so I've already forgotten. But I would flash everything first. I think the only thing I had to do was update the firmware itself. I think because there's many different upgrades for it. There's Bluetooth, there's like a noise canceling firmware. I mean, there's so many different like little mini softwares at that point. But I think the only thing I had to do was
just upgraded the firmware. Everything else is current.
All right, I'm letting you do this and try it again. You going to be around for a while if I still have an issue?
Yeah, I'll be monitoring, you know. I don't know if I'll be able to solve your issue, but I'll be around. You can try to find me. I'll be here. If not, just ping me on Discord and I'll come to the radio or whatever.
Okay. Thanks.
KF8S. Channels came in and everything, but you'll definitely want to go through your digital channels and just double check things are the way they're supposed to be. And then all your menu options, you know how you probably customize a lot of your 878 menu options? A lot of those are going to be either they won't come through or you got to redo them. Or, you know, I had to go through and redo mine, but maybe you'll have better luck.
Okay, thanks for that advice. So I wonder why they wouldn't, but who knows.
Yeah, I think they just put the, you know, the memory, I'm thinking how they would store it, and they probably just have different memory locations and things like that, or different names for things. There are a couple new options, like there's some noise canceling now. There's a receive noise canceling, and you can set buttons for that, you know, turn noise canceling on and off and things like that. But you'll like the analog noise canceling. They have different levels, you know, unlike some of these Chinese radios where it's either on or off and that's it. There's like different levels. If you've ever dealt with a Yaesu radio, the digital noise reduction, how they have different algorithms, you know, tuning. I think it's kind of like that.
Oh, okay. Didn't know it had that. All right, I'll play around with that. Is that something, if you activate, you have to reload the firmware or anything like that?
No, it's all built in. It's like, you know, there's an off setting where it's just completely off, just acts like how you're used to with the 878, and then you can turn it on, you can try different levels, and I think it was 1 to 5 or something like that. I can't remember what I settled on. I think I either settled on 1 or 2. And it just cleans up some of the analog stuff, like it'll make the Morse code like a little bit fainter in the background, and it will like get rid of some of the static. You know, you'll still hear it. You'll hear some crackling, but it will clean up the audio a little bit. So it's kind of like digital. You know, if you've ever put a analog voice through digital filtering, it's kind of like that, where it tries to get rid of things in the background on somebody's voice. They have it for the transmit as well, but I left that off because I think it just makes your voice sound weird to the other person.
Okay, I'll be clear on that. All right, let's see it loaded. Let's look at the options. Oh, none of the key functions came over. Let's see. It doesn't look like any of the options came over. I'm going to have to redo all those manually, I guess.
Yeah, the first day I got mine, I was just playing around with it. I got a little overwhelmed, and then I put it down. And then, you know, it's one of those things where you're going to get overwhelmed the first day you play with it. And then you'll come back to it and all that stuff.
All right. Let's see here. All right, let's see. Did that come through? No, I haven't master ID. I think someone called a master ID. Huh, that's different. Under DMR.
Yeah, I think you can have multiple DMR IDs in the radio. You know, I think you can set it to the channel. I think I just put all mine, just my one. I only have one DMR ID. Like if you had two different systems, you know, if you had a private system that you had a different ID for a private system, you could put that in there.
Okay, sounds good. All right, I'll, you mentioned that test mode with the key sequence. Do you know what that is?
I don't off the top of my head. I know it exists, but I don't know how to get to it. But it's weird. It's very very wonky. I bet you if you go look for the 878, you know, search for the 878 version of it, probably the same key sequence, but I can't remember. I think you can tweak, like, the power levels and things like that. Like, if you wanted your low power to be a certain thing, but of course you need to, you know, hook it up to a watt meter and all that stuff. I think the defaults are fine, but, like, if you probably have better equipment than me. So you hook it up to an oscilloscope, you can see if it's on frequency or not. You might be able to calibrate it.
Yeah, I do have all the, like, the service monitor and all that, so, yeah, I can play around with that. Okay. One thing I'm interested to try out is if they ever fix the issue with the volume. It's one thing with the 878, and, you know, you lower the volume and just, and then there's just a sudden drop to zero, you know, and you never get in that little sweet spot. Well, I wonder if it's any better on this one.
I think it still has that same quirk, you know, and I think it's controlled by your max volume, right? Like if you have it set to 8 as your max volume, then it will swing a lot. And then I think the low is always the same problem, where it doesn't get quiet enough to walk around in a nice quiet house with and not wake up anybody. They do have a mode on there for DMR where it supposedly will auto gain control, loud people to be a little bit quieter and quiet people a little bit louder. I didn't find that to work that well. Like it's still some people were still loud, but it's a little bit better than the 878, though, I will say that. So they try. There's no NXDN yet, even though I've seen people playing with it on Facebook. So there's a guy that, the DV Mega guy, had a video on his DV Mega Facebook that showed him testing out NXDN, but I think he's got like a beta firmware or something. So I don't think it's quite ready yet. So, all right, talk to you later. KFADA.
KPI test.
KCKJL. Oh, they let you out of the rat race, eh?
Yep. Family get out of there. About halfway home now.
Yeah, I got out of that detention center. Now I'm heading down to Brownstown to take care of another bunch of controls that aren't working.
Oh boy, getting a bunch of overtime today, huh?
The more overtime I get, the more money I make.
Yeah, that's only partially true for me.
It's just,
then it's the only straight time. I don't even get time and a half.
Well, I get time and a half, but, you know, getting a few hours of overtime makes the paycheck look a little bit bigger and goes into four digits, and I'm a happy camper with that.
Yeah, that's always good. Get more money for toys.
Don't say that out loud. She'll get mad.
No. The quiet part is that you got the toys.
Well, I got the Fusion, you know, and I got the Motorola, I got the Tate, I got the Radio Shack Pro 197, well, I only paid $10 for that, and then I got the DM32 and the DM1701, and then a Retevis 3, and then a couple ICOM HTs, and I got my Alinco upstairs, so I'll be sitting down just, you know, looking on my phone. She goes, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. She goes, are you buying another radio? I'm like, no, I'm just looking at other radios.
Yep. Now the other voice in my head is my voice. Yeah, no, the X used to get angry when I would start looking at new toys. No, I don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, I'll wait a little bit. I mean, I got my bat phone, I got my voice service. You know, I still got to program some speed dial numbers in there. And I think I heard Darren, KFADCQ, on there. Darren, you still out there? Go ahead if you are. KCAKJL. You got Lance with me.
I am out here, but I'm barely out here because I think I'm getting an S9 on my reception, if I recall correct. That probably means you can't hear me right now. But anywho, yeah. Happy to hear you guys on the radio. Talk to you a little bit later, I guess. 73.
You got a little picket fence, but you're in there.
Hey, he's doing surprisingly well with an HT in Fraser. And you see the pictures on Discord of the discombobulated dish from Saturday?
This is Fuel Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. No, I have not seen the image yet. I maybe had glanced at it at once, but I didn't necessarily remember, I don't remember seeing it.
I didn't see him on Discord, probably on your McComb Discord, but then I'm not on, but I did see him posted on the SEMA channel, so yeah, I did see those pictures. Yeah, that was quite some destruction.
Yeah, peeled that mouth open like a tin can. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was, it looked like it folded that pipe over, too. Yeah, that was, it was pretty magical. It sounded like, Sean made some phone calls when they were out there on Sunday night. That's what he thought they were going to be doing.
Yeah, I didn't see the pipe, but I saw the back of the dish, and the mount was just obliterated. But like the CO said, is that at least it's just the mount. Those are replaceable. The dish looks pretty decent.
And it was the thing is that side of the dish was online, so we kind of like, well, that's. That side should be fine, right? didn't realize the whole cable tray came up and smacked it.
Was that what it was? Was it a mounting cable that smacked it, or was it an old power cable that took it out? Because that must have been some force.
Well, there was that tray that went across the roof that... It had some cables in it, but the whole thing just picked up and smacked the dish and went on the other side of it.
Oh, that's what they were saying. And it was a cable tray that came up and decided to grow up instead of waiting. Okay, I got it. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, like they said they were 60 mile an hour gust, the storm that took it out, so, yeah, it just grabbed a hold of it, and I guess it's just sitting on the roof, it's not actually fastened at all, so, just picked it up, and, I think, Fred was saying that it would have had, originally hardline in it, but now the new system is you put fiber, there's fiber and PLE cables, which are much lighter, so, didn't have the weight to hold it down anymore.
I guess I gotta add some more bricks on it.
I don't know, maybe they didn't even need the tray, just have their cables running. That's their problem to solve, it's not ours.
Well, I'm sure they'll come up with some type of solution. They always do.
Yep. We need an LG out there to run that until we can get back out there.
Well, at least it was a low-cost item that was damaged and not the the whole drum, because that would have been even worse.
All the maintenance items that go in this stuff you never expect.
Yeah, I think they got it. I think they got that site back up on a backbone. I'm sure that dish isn't realigned yet. So, what if they got it on a fiber or an IP backbone right now?
They were putting an LG modem at the repeater. I don't know if they've done that yet or not, but, I mean, the hospital side of things, that was feeding the repeater, so, it's running off a cell modem.
Yeah, that's how my fiber runs, you know, I got a fiber internet, but then if they got an issue with that, then it goes on a got a cell backup backbone on it.
Yeah, I've been looking for something to do a backup because the circuit that feeds my house also is the same circuit that feeds the Comcast distribution point. So even when if I lose power, I'm out of internet. I have no cell service at my house, so it's just you know, but not good enough to really even make a phone call, so be good to have some sort of backup, but I also don't want to throw money at something that I don't use, so only as a backup, in case I lose power, you know.
Well, I got a good price on it, locked in for like 2 years or something like that. You know, with the 1 gig fiber and then the cell or whatever, the backup, and then all the devices, I think I'm going to pay about 100, maybe 120 tops. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, I think it'll be a long time before I get fiber at my house. Not worth the construction cost to hit my street. The old neighborhood, they're getting fiber, so they've been drilling while they still can. So it'll be a while before I get fiber.
Well, I just happened and said fiber may be in your area. Check it out. They're checking out, and it said yes. And I called them up, they're like, yeah, they're there. I'm like, cool. I said, this is how much it's going to cost. I'm like, dude, same price I was paying for, you know, the other internet. You know, and just switching over to fiber, 10 times the speed. And when the guy came and installed it, he goes, you are the third customer I've had that, is getting fiber, and it just came out on Monday.
Oh, yeah, that's, that works out. You get fresh new fiber. I don't know, there's probably 20 houses in my street, so quite a lot of drilling for not a lot of revenue, so pretty much I'm stuck with Xfinity and that's it.
Yeah, I'm sure I can boost up my fiber speed if I wanted to, but 500 up, 500 down is it's working just fine for me, so I don't need anything more than that.
That's about what I get in cable. I think I pay for 800 meg, but the best I get is about 6. And it's like between 5 and 6, so I've been looking at Starlink dishes. Maybe that might be an option. They have some new plans out that might be a good backup, but other than that, there's a DSL service, but they're only at 50 meg, so that'd be quite the drop down.
Yeah, that's what I had. I had the DSL through Frontier, and then they came out with fiber, and you know they said it's it's 1 gig, but you know of course it's 500 up, 500 down, and it buzzes right by. Oh, there's my phone call. I'll catch you later on. 73-8880.
Yeah, I'm about home too. You need to be at work.
TG-88 Sad Mobile.
WAEAP. I thought I heard a mouse here earlier. Anyhow, nothing heard on TC8KJO. So it's WAEAP.
WATPD Mobile.
And ACLH Mobile as well.
What brings you out on a cold night like tonight?
I got stuck at work a little later than expected. Just headed home now. How about yourself?
Got done bowling. Stopped, grabbed some food. Now I'm on my way home. Got to be to work at 7 a.m.
Oh, nice. I haven't gone bowling in a while. I'm sure. I hope that was a lot of fun. And you got me beat. I just got to be back at 9.
Well, that's pretty rough if you just left and you got to be back at 9. Still, right now, nowadays, I only work 8 hours a day, but I don't know. Getting out this in the morning time when it's like 0 or 3 above and wind chill factors in the minus teens is rough.
Could not agree with you more, and I think we might be expecting snow at 5 in the morning, last I heard, but I haven't checked recently. So hopefully that changed.
Well, I'm not sure of the time frame, but I know we're supposed to get between 1 and 3. Sometime during the work day tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I'm totally over it. I'm ready for at least 60 degrees.
I hear you there. I want a nice, good rain, wash all this salt residue off the roads, 60 to 65 degrees so I can take my motorcycle for a ride.
That would be nice. I used to ride and I had a motorcycle, and I think I rode it for like 2 times a few years ago, and then the following year I didn't ride it at all and decided to sell it. I do miss it, but it's not, I just don't think it's worth it anymore, at least in the city.
Well, I'm hoping to retire around June this year. Put a few more miles on it, a couple of trips and whatnot before I'm too old not to be able to ride it.
Very nice. June, that's an awesome time to retire, I'm sure. Perfect beginning of the summer. That would be nice. Not even halfway to retirement myself.
Yeah, well, I got my 30 years and I'm 60 years old. And not going to totally retire. I work part-time for my church and help them out. You know, keep active at least that way. And golf a little bit more and ride a little bit more and all that other good stuff. My wife, she plans on working another couple, 3-4 years. So I'll have to keep myself busy before we can do the sell the house, buy an RV, and travel all over the country, Roger.
That's some good dreams right there. I eventually would like to move farther away from the city with a little bit of land. My wife has big dreams to homestead, so that requires a lot of education, like just to learn to do, and I would love to pull that off, but who knows, maybe one day. Yeah, that would be nice, RVing and traveling all over the place.
Well, her stepfather lives in Tennessee, her half-sister lives in Texas. And you know, we've got some other relatives spread all over the eastern seaboard, so it'd be nice to go and see them in their habitat for a change and see the country, or at least half the country anyways. We
got 10 acres up by Central Michigan University that we can reside in other times, but yeah, that's the goal. Stay healthy enough and long enough to do all that good stuff.
Very cool. I don't have too much family all over. Mostly spread out through the state, which is cool, and I would love to visit them more. And I got a cousin that's over on near the West Coast. I think sometime I'll have to go out that way and see what it's like over there. I don't get to get out of the state much.
Well, I hear you there. We don't get out of the state much either because most of our immediate family's here, but I got an empty down in Georgia area, and I got another one over in Illinois. The third nephew's actually going to be in Germany for a couple of years because he's in the military, but father-in-law is down in Tennessee. I guess they have sisters over in Amarillo, Texas, so we can actually make one big long years worth of traveling, just visiting all those people. Roger.
Yeah, I hear you. Last year, my wife and I made it to Colorado for like 1 year /honeymoon, and that was really cool. Got to see the moose. That was a cool highlight. And did some horseback riding and such. The altitude took some time to get used to, so.
Well, I imagine that would. We took a motorcycle trip around Lake Superior, and one of our riders just was so set she wanted to see a moose so bad, but we didn't see any. But, you know, it's about the length of it. You know, I was in the military, saw a little bit of Europe and a little bit of the States, but not much. And I don't know if I really want to go all the way out to California, but Las Vegas would be nice, at least for 1 week of my life.
Yeah, enough to be able to see what it's like and not be concerned in everything, I hear you. However, I just pulled up to the QTH. Thanks for the little Q-cell on the way home. I believe it was N8DPD.
Well, definitely appreciate the drive home. I'm about a half mile from home. And it's Whiskey 8, Bravo, Papa, Delta. Brian here.
Whiskey 8, Delta, Bravo, Papa.
Right.
I am Wade, November 8, Charlie, Lima, Hotel. Pleasure, and 73.
W-A-T-E-D, I'll be standing by.